Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Luke and chapter 15. Luke and chapter 15. I want to preach a message this morning on the two prayers of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, in this parable, prays two specific prayers. One prayer is proud and stupid. The other prayer is humble and heartfelt. And we're going to look at both of those prayers this morning. We're not going to look at the prodigal compared to the elder son. I preached that message before. And by the way, just so you got background, the prodigal son here is a picture of the publicans and the sinners turning away from God, turning away from Jewry, if you will, Judaism, and then it fast forwards to compared to the Pharisees, and then it fast forwards to the Gentiles compared to Israel. Stand with me and let me read a couple of the verses. Everybody stand in Luke in chapter 15. Verse 12 says, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Father, we come to you this morning. The church needs to hear this message. The preacher needs to hear this message. God, we need to be a people that call out to you from our hearts and call rightly. And Lord, there's a great need of revival in the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's a great need of revival in our nation, America. And this whole world just seems like it's upside down. God, we come to you this morning and we pray that you'd take the word of God, good doctrine, you'd speak to our hearts, you'd challenge us, you'd convict us, you'd show us where we fall so far short of the glory of God that we wouldn't so far, you'd show us in such a big way, we'd be less concerned about other people's problems and sins and more concerned about our own. And Lord God, we pray for anybody here that is not born again. We pray they come to Christ. They hear the gospel this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The ministry. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. And when I read that verse, I read it last night before I went to bed, and I realized the word all and we. That includes me. One of those stupid sheep that need a shepherd. Left on my own for just a little bit of time, not many days hence, and I'm off in the world or I'm off in the distant land, even in my heart and in my mind. And I realize, and the ministry is, I'm still learning the ministry. Usually the problems that come my way that people are experiencing aren't earth-shattering. Sometimes it's life and death. You mix those in with the 12 or 15 or 25 problems that are small, but everybody, when they're in it and they're in the middle of it, they think that that is an earth-shattering problem. But in reality, in the grand scheme of life, it is not that way. And the ministry, that's how it comes. 10 problems at a time, 12 problems at a time. It's just this little thing and this little thing. And pastor, this got to be taken care of. Oh, this over here. Would you help me here? What do I do here? And you know, it's just kind of, it's like being eaten to death by a duck, one little bite at a time. And it's over and over and over again. And sometimes it gets a little, you get a little bit of weary in it, and a little bit of the load gets a little bit heavy. But I want you to know there is a God in heaven that hears our prayers. Amen. There is a God in heaven that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it's light. It's easy. You know what Jesus is saying? I'll do all the work. I've done all the work. Oh, the love of God. What we sang just now. That's why I preach. I still get this. Tim Rader, now less and less all the time. I can't believe you're a preacher. I never thought you would be a preacher. I've come down to a one-word answer. Grace. I was meditating on that this morning. Meditating on grace was right here. Thinking about it a little bit. And I thought, of a lot of one-word sermons. Now, don't get your hopes up. I'm going to share some one-word sermons with you, but I'm not saying amen after each one of these words. It's going to keep piling on just a little bit. But I just want you to, I want to arrest your attention. I want you to think. All right, just think. If you're a little kid, I'd tell you to put on your thinking cap. And all right, now concentrate on this. Think of this one word in relation to God, you and God. Think about it. Mercy. Let that marinate. How about another one? Grace. How about this? Long-suffering. Patience. How about these two words? Loving-kindness. Another two words. Tender mercies. Towards me. The God of heaven. Towards me. Unworthy as I am. Not deserving it. How about some big words? Atonement. Propitiation. He took my place. Sacrifice. How about this one? Advocate. Man, he's there for me. Redeemer. That's my God. That's my God. In Luke in chapter 15, and I want you to know this, God is still in the business of forgiving sinners. And Luke in chapter 15, we read three parables here. They're very potent, very powerful. The one I'm going to preach is probably the most popular. Everybody kind of has heard about the prodigal son at one time or another. First of all, he refers to a lost coin where a lady gets upset about money, sweeps the house and finds the money. And then we find a lost sheep. That's an animal. It's not all that important. It's an animal, and that sheep was lost. But everybody rejoices when that one sheep is found. And then he talks about two sons. And they are important. And God loves the older son, as hypocritical as he is. By the way, that was the Pharisees. And God loves the prodigal. He's wandered away. He's lost. And he's undone. The message this morning is pretty simple. You can go home again. Let me change the word from go to come. You can come home again. You can come home to warmth, love, peace, and family of God. You can come home again to the one person that loves you more than anybody else in this world. The friend that sticks closer than a brother. It might be like the prodigal. You feel like you're in a land distant from God. That is not God's fault. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Boy, I hope this parable just rings a note in your heart, rings true in your heart, and you understand. I heard this, boy, I didn't plan on saying this, so I wouldn't have names, and I don't have dates and times and all that, but I remember of a teenage girl. I remember hearing this story a preacher told of his teenage girl that ran away from home, and she was gone for years. Broke her parents' heart. Broke her preacher daddy's heart, and broke her mama's heart, and they wept every night. You can imagine how that is. Didn't know where their girl was, where their daughter was. And they pray for her to come home all the time. And every night, last thing they did before they go to bed is they pray for her to come home. And then the dad would go out and he'd flip the yard light on, the porch light. And he left it on all night long. For years that went on. Finally, when she's about 18 years of age, she'd had enough of the world. And she came home. Oh, and they welcomed her with open arms, and it was a reunion like, man, there were scars. It was that part can't be undone, but it was a reunion like you'll never know. And the daddy and the mama said, you know, we prayed for you every day. We prayed for God's safety and God to protect you, and you finally come home. And she said, Daddy, what you don't know is many nights I was in a car at the end of the block, and I'd look and see that yard light on, that porch light. But it just couldn't come. But boy, did it speak to my heart. Dad, thank you for leaving the light on. That spoke right to my heart. There's a light on in heaven today. God the Son wants you. He wants your fellowship. If you're a Christian, you know all kinds of Bible doctrine. You know all kinds of Bible verses. Probably you actually fit closer to the elder son than the younger son, than the prodigal. But you know this. If you're away from God and you no longer have the love of God and the power of God in your life, God wants you back. He wants you to come home. If you're someone here and you're not born again, you've never been saved, God is still in the business of forgiving sinners. Man, if you'll come to him this morning, he'll receive you with arms open wide. Let me preach through this parable very, very quickly. Look at verse 11. He had two sons. This is a parable. No personal names are used. Jesus uses this parable to teach an earthly story, to tell a heavenly truth. He said, and the younger of them, two boys, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. This is the prayer that is, he's saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. This is the prayer of the younger son. And it's selfish. It's prideful. He just wants. He didn't even have the right to that inheritance yet. You understand that? According to the Jewish custom, this man was still alive. Dad was still alive. You know what the young boy was saying? You're dead to me. I want my inheritance. I'm through. I'm leaving. I want my inheritance. And the father gave him his inheritance. Let's read on. I want to read 12 again. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after. You know, it doesn't take many days to get away from God. You may have forsaken God, but God will never forsake you. If you're drifting, if your tents are pitched towards Sodom today, Dr. Olala used to say, you show me which direction a man's feet are pointed, and I'll show you where he's going to end up. Right. Where are you going to be a year from now? You say, well, I'm right here, right now. Where are you going to be a year from now? Where are your kids going to be 3 years from now? And not many days hence. Doesn't take long to fall away from God. Man, isn't that the truth? Doesn't take long to get cold and bitter and selfish and indifferent. And I wish there was an old-time preacher, man, that just preach out of the book and could give it in a way that it hit you right over the head this morning. But I'm all you got. And I'd love to hit me over the head as well. It says here in verse 2, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he packed up his bags, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance, wasted it with riotous living. And the Greek word there speaks to immorality. He was arrogant, he was selfish, and he was a self-gratifying fool. You ever know an 18-year-old that knows everything? Maybe you remember. You remember that 16-year-old that was smarter than his parents? Smarter than her parents? Maybe you remember. Sometimes we get a long ways away from that and we forget what it was like back then. Remember when you were 13 and your dad didn't know nothing? Didn't understand a thing? Man, how could he be so stupid? Isn't it amazing how smart he got as you got older? You had kids yourself? And then you went to the wisdom man to get answers? Do you remember that? So not many days hence, he took all that, he packed up his bags, he left. So long, old man. I'm out of here. I'm going to a distant land. I'm going to enjoy life. It's a life of partying. It's a life of wine, women, and song. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes spoke to that. As a matter of fact, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes and chapter 2. Verse 9 says, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained within me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, along with all of that emptiness and all of that loneliness that my wealth brought me, there was guilt. I was conflicted all of the time. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. That was a good Sunday school class. Not because of the teacher. That was a good Sunday school class. There were a lot of people trying to get what others have, and the others would trade everything they have just to have some peace, just have some joy, just have some happiness. Don't take all with God, your inheritance, and run from the one that loves you the most, your heavenly Father, and run to that land, that distant land, that far country. Don't do that, because there you're going to find out that when your money runs out, your friends will run out as well. There is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. His name is Jesus. The preacher tells us that. He wasted all of his substance. What good is wealth, by the way, if you lose everything that's eternal? 70 goes by real fast. Most people don't hang on to wealth that long. It'll be here and gone. Say, how do I fix that, preacher? I said this in Sunday school. This is one of those things I said, and I thought, wow, that's pretty wise. I wish I got to write that down somewhere. And likely I read it in a book somewhere. I don't know. But if you got a problem in your life and you can't fix the problem, change the one you're worshiping. Change the one you're worshiping. You worship the Jesus of the Bible, the problem gets fixed. That's amazing how that works. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, everything, there arose a mighty famine. Underline the word mighty. It's all gone. Now it's tough times. A mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now he didn't have luxuries. Now he didn't have his needs met even. Verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now this is repugnant. This is as bad as a Jew boy can get. Now he's feeding the hogs. First of all, there was the call of the world, the far country. You've heard me say this before. The devil doesn't own his own house. Don't give him the keys to your house. The call of the world. Go to Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is Moses here. If I can find it. Hebrews 11 verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Remember when he was tested? And remember he turned back to the Lord God Jehovah, choosing rather to suffer affliction. That's kind of strange. And the Bible tells us that you live for God, there will be persecution. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there is pleasure in sin. Satan is a poor friend. And he's a hard bill collector. He's that slick used car salesman who will repossess everything you own. Everything you value. Moses understood this. He said goodbye to the wealth and the luxuries and the power of Egypt and suffered affliction with his people. Wisdom. The young man, the prodigal boy, looked to the world, went to the world, got the congratulations of the world, then the cares of the world came his way. And things got real tough. It isn't long and he's eating what the pigs are eating. He's fighting with the pigs to eat what they are eating. Verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Boy, he was at the top. Now he's got nothing. He sent him into his fields. Take care of the pigs, boy. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. No friends now. The devil will tell you he's your best friend. Teenagers, you're going to be tempted to do drugs. You're going to be tempted to go to alcohol. You're going to be tempted to smoke wacky tobacco. You're going to be tempted to get involved in immorality. You're going to be tempted to do that which is wrong. I'm telling you, don't turn your back on your heavenly Father. Don't go to the far country. You go to the far country and sin will pay you more than you want to pay. There's an old gospel song. It'll take you lower than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. The truth is, there'll be scars. There'll be tears. There'll be heartache. It won't be wine, women, and song. It'll be difficulties. It'll be heartache. You may end up marrying a person that's going to bring just hell into your life. And everything's going to fall apart. And you're going to wonder, just like that little teenage girl at the end of the street sees the light on the front porch, saying, man, I can't go home. I've ruined everything. I want you to know again this morning, God is in the business of forgiving sinners. But by the way, don't premeditate that sin and run to the world thinking that you got a free weekend or you got a free time to sow your wild oats. That's a mistake because you never come back. You end up getting hooked. And all that freedom becomes a chain. It's forged into chains and all your friends become taskmasters. And that bottle that you thought brought all kinds of joy to your life and frivolous laughter becomes a depressant. And you become wretched and weak. And things will get tough. So much for being used of God. So much for knowing the blessings of God. I want you to know that is not God's will for your life. He wants you home. You can come home again. You say, hey, nobody even knows, but I know my heart. I come to church all the time. I'm away from God. In fact, I'm so far away from God, I'm getting cynical. God help you. God have mercy on you. There's a big train wreck coming. Come home. Come home. You say, how am I going to do that? Change your God. You're going to know about God by studying the Bible. By the way, you got to be to John 15 by the end of the day. Three chapters a day, that's actually pretty easy to do. Look at John 15 and verse 3. John 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, how am I going to get my life right? By getting in the Bible. By getting in the Word of God. How many found, you just say amen if this is true, in reading that three chapters a day, it's made a difference in your life. Say amen. I mean, it happens over and over again. And if you're not reading the three chapters a day, I've just piled on your guilt. Man, you're, there's something else you feel guilty about. And you make an excuse for your sin instead of coming to God the way you ought to come. Catch up, man. Catch up. Get in the Bible. Start reading the Word of God. He'll clean your heart up. That you're cleaned through the Word. That's a great truth. Amen. Let's go back to the prodigal son. Let's read his second prayer. Oh, I got to read verse 17 first. And when he came to himself, that means there was a total change of heart. That speaks to repentance. So here he is. He's at the bottom of life for a Jewish boy. He's feeding swine, unclean animals. You know, it was worse than the worst. And now he's eating pig slop for nourishment, for food, just trying to stay alive. But and the devil will pay you in starvation wages. You'll get there. It'll happen. He said he would fain have filled his belly, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He said, even the servants in my father's home, they got more than enough food to fill their belly, and they have food left over. Man, I'd rather live, I would live in a pup tent outside the city gate of heaven rather than the best place in hell any day, anytime. I want God's blessing more than the nicest home here on this earth, any day, anytime, because God is a good God, that merciful God, that God that's full of grace. That God that is long-suffering, we alluded to early in the message. That God with his tender mercies and his loving kindness, my advocate, my mediator, the one that is there on my behalf. That's the God that I serve. And he not only butters my bread, he bakes it as well. He takes good care of me. That's the God of heaven. Let's read a little bit more here. I will arise. He's repentance. That's what repentance is speaking of. He said, man, My father's servants have it better than this. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, here's his second prayer, Father, I have sinned. His first prayer, Father, give me. And it was all about things. His second prayer, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You got to get there. I don't care how mature you are in the Lord. You've got to stay at the foot of the cross. Maybe you know more Bible than the preacher knows. You still have to stay at the foot of the cross and adore him. Man, he's done so much for you. He's done so much for me. Now, I'm unworthy. That's what the prodigal son says. Unworthy. I don't deserve to be here. Unworthy. Let's read on here. Verse 19, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I don't deserve any better than that. Just give me a job. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his dad was looking for him. He had the porch light on. His father saw him and had compassion. Oh, there's a word we could have used, one word sermon, and ran. Can you picture this? The old man running towards his son and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let's picture this. Let me put it back in my own words. Distant land, away from the father, away from the homeland. Young boy who's broken and hungry. Tasted what the world had to offer, and there's nothing there. He's through with it. He walks up to the big house, the main house, and he knocks on the front door. And the hog farmer comes, the big man comes to the door and opens the big door. And the young man looks up and hands him, he says, here's your pig pill. I'm going home. And the hog farmer looks down and sees a broken man, unkept, unwashed, barefoot, foul smelling. And he said, son, boy, you're in a fool's errand. If I were your father, I'd set the dogs on you when you got home. And the young man looks up and says, I dare say you would, sir. But you don't know my father. Our God in heaven is the good God of heaven. Amen. Sin is sin. It's dark, it's evil, it's corrupt, and it's black, and it's wrong. Our God's a holy God. But listen to this. That same holy God is a God that says, come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. You come unto me, and my yoke is easy. I'll take your yoke. I'll give you my yoke. I'll meet your every need. The prodigal boy, nothing to offer his dad. And when the picture, wow, not only does his father forgive him, his father, the father's heart, he's looking for his son to come. Let's read the verses. Verse 21. I want to read 20 again. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That is humility. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Man, there's an outline for a sermon here. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. You talk about a rags to riches story. You talk about going from a beggar to a child of the king story. It says here that his father embraced him, enrobed him. Put a ring on his finger. That meant he was a member of the family again. Put shoes on his feet. Met his every need. Killed the fatted calf. It was time to rejoice. And was given, this my son was dead, and now he's alive again. Was given new life. That's the God that we worship. Amen. If you're here today and you're a long ways away from God, you say, preacher, I'm born again. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you've ran so far from God, you haven't walked an aisle in 20 years. You've ran so far from God, you haven't wept except when God hits you over the head. You don't love God the way you ought to love him. You got to come home again. Amen. Right here with your heart. If you're here today and you're not born again, you're not saved, you need to be born into the family of God. Man, they'll be rejoicing all of chapter 15. They'll be rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If you'll come to Christ this morning and be born into the family of God, God's going to rejoice. Heaven's going to rejoice. Man, that's our reality. And as children of God, again, I want to preach to those that are saved. You brought a Bible with you this morning to church. You might even be baptized and a member of Fundamental Baptist Church, but you're in the land that's distant from God. You can come home. Warmth, peace, joy, a father's love, family love. He'll hug you. He'll embrace you. You're not alone in the world. Put a robe on your back, a ring on your fingers, shoes on your feet. He'll make it just like it was.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.